This episode of Legion of News is made possible by our friends at Squires Electric, a brand new business partner. Squires Electric is a full-service electrical contractor for all of your residential and commercial needs. You can contact them at 503-252-1609, or for more information, go to squireselectric.com.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
From high atop the milk packing district in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon, this, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson, alongside Mr. Eric D. Snyder, in for Dawn Taylor, who is out today. And in the next hour, you, my friends, will hear news of an almost astonishing breadth and variety, covering a series of topics including, but not limited to, the following:
Obama and the Republicans cut a deal on tax cuts. United Kingdom police arrest the WikiLeaks leader. And Cleveland, Ohio will get a lingerie football team.
Fantastic. As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when this hour began. And now, without further ado, pay heed, for this is Legion of News.
Good morning to you. Obama has made a deal with the Republicans on the tax cuts. President Obama and congressional leaders have succeeded in negotiating a tax cut compromise that will annoy everyone. Under the agreement, the Bush tax cuts will be extended for 2 years for all income brackets, an idea the Democrats have been fighting. And unemployment benefits will be extended for 13 months without offsetting spending elsewhere.
Let me just interrupt you. And by the way, you're going to hear that happening a lot over the next
I'll get used to it.
58 minutes. Learn to speak in three or four word increments, or expect that you will get no more than six syllables out of your mouth at any point before
gotcha.
I say, but let me ask you one thing, Eric.
Sure. Go ahead, Rick.
So as we get into this, when you say that the tax income or the tax credits are going to they're going to be across all brackets?
That is indeed what it says, for all income brackets.
So they're going to extend everything that is out there now, and then for unemployment benefits, do we know if this is, because we all know people who are on like third and fourth and fifth and 12th tiers or whatever of their unemployment.
Right.
So are they extending this past what people would normally be able to get, or were they just talking about cutting it earlier, do you think? And then they've just decided not to do that.
My understanding was that the unemployment had basically run out, or they were extending what it, like it runs out. If you're on unemployment, you can only have a certain amount of time, and then it ends.
So it was a cutoff date for everybody that would have just kicked in until, like, you know, you would have had like 30% of the country or something. The not even on the dole, just sort of sitting there clutching a bag of Sterno and waiting to drink the pain away.
Basically, yes.
All right.
Yes, and
okay.
Now they won't have to.
Excellent.
And of course, Republicans have been fighting that. Obama did manage to talk Republicans into a 2% employee payroll tax cut and extensions of several tax credits aimed at working families. But according to the Washington Post, the White House is preparing for significant opposition from Democrats.
You are listening to Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm. Just want to take a moment to tell you that coming up later on this hour, we'll have your entertainment news as well as your science on the march. If you want to get this program via iTunes, you can do that later on in the day. It's also available as a direct MP3 download here or at legionofnews.com. And you can get it on your mobile device as well. That is mobile.cascadia.fm. That is mobile. Cascadia.fm. Many of you recognize Mr. Eric D. Snyder. So you are the host of a very fine program on Cascadia.fm, which is Fridays at 11 a.m., yes?
That's true. Movie BS with Bayer and Snyder. I'm the Snyder.
As we were getting ready to go on the air today, and by the way, I should just give a little bit of a... we normally reserve this sort of talk for the Rick Emerson radio program, but
So I was in this meeting this morning on the other side of town. I was in glorious, lovely Milwaukee, which is really where I just like to spend all of my free hours, just wandering the streets, looking up at the sky, sure. breathing the fetid air.
Sure.
And the phone rang, and it was Dawn. And anyway, so Dawn is dealing with an issue outside of. I don't think it's a big secret. She mentioned that her husband was sick.
Right. Yeah.
So she's at the doctor's office with Patrick.
Yeah.
So she said, but Mr. Eric D. Snyder is standing by, ready to ably fill my pumps. And I said, fantastic. And so here we are. So as we plunge on throughout this hour, we'll be getting to most of the things you normally hear from us. And then coming up next hour on the Rick Emerson radio program, I have no idea what will be happening. So it's going to be a mystery that unfolds at the same time for all of us, concurrently.
We're all learning together.
That's right.
I hope to do what Dawn would do, but with a slightly deeper voice.
Were you leading up to a soundbite there that I just stepped on? Was this
no?
I couldn't quite tell from your inflection if I was supposed to be pretty good because
nope.
I was afraid that I'd made a mess of things like right out of the gate.
No, I'm sure I will do that though.
Excellent. Well, let's get back to it then.
All right,
Mr. Eric D. Snyder.
UK police arrested WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange in central London on charges of, wait for it, sexual misconduct.
Every time I hear the word Assange, I know that's his actual name, but for some reason in my head it comes out as like Peter Sellers as Jacques Lousseau. You know, like it's just sort of,
right.
I think it's because he talks about having a licence for his minky.
Yes. Julian Assange. Sexual misconduct, the New York Times reports this. Assange had arranged to meet with British police beforehand and will appear in court later today. British police issued a statement confirming the arrest. Quote, officers from the I should do it in a British accent, obviously. Officers from the Metropolitan Police Extradition Unit have this morning arrested Julian Assange on behalf of the Swedish authorities on suspicion of rape.
Now, is it... And I'm asking you, this is another thing you're going to find that happens frequently at the hour, that I'm going to ask you questions that you couldn't possibly have the
right.
answers to, but I'll ask them and then occasionally just become enraged when the answers aren't forthcoming.
Okay.
Now, I read something this morning that it was that they busted him... It was rape only because he didn't wear a condom, or it was rape... Which seems absurd. Like even as my mouth is forming those words, it doesn't make any sense. But that was what I saw this morning. That it was either rape or it was some elevated form of assault, because not only was it allegedly non-consensual,
right?
But it was alleged non-consensual contact that happened without a condom, therefore exposing to whatever he might or might not have and whatever. It's all very confusing.
These summaries I have here from the New York Times and the Guardian don't mention that aspect. It's for the alleged rape of two Swedish women in August 2009. He's claimed that Sweden is acting as a cipher for the U.S. after the mass release of sensitive American diplomatic cables, which it does all seem, obviously, like, they wanted to find some reason to arrest him.
Well, that's the thing, is like,
but
it doesn't...
But if he raped these women, why didn't they arrest him, last year when he did it?
And also, now, and I was to understand... Now, I think he may have actually turned himself in.
Yeah, he turned himself into Scotland Yard.
Figuring that, otherwise they're going to find him in an alley somewhere full of lead, and they're going to be like, I don't know, he came out of nowhere and tried to attack us with his back, so
right.
we had to kill him. Doesn't it seem to you that it's just, it's almost like a comically predictable series of events where he just releases all of the stuff and the government says, stop it. And he says, I'm not gonna. And they say, stop. And he goes, no. And they say, stop. And he goes, be a pal. And he says, no, I'm gonna keep doing it. And then, like, instantly, they just conjure up these women from Sweden who are just,
right.
And he violated my womanhood.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much however he dies, it will have been murder. I think we're pretty much sure of that, right?
Well, didn't they? Remember that guy? It was the, I want to say that it was the rather unfortunately named Michael Bolton or John Bolton. There was some guy at the UN that was doing some sort of inspection of Iraq years ago leading up to the war.
Oh, yeah.
I may have this wrong. It may not have been him, but it was the guy who was, he'd like gone and he inspected some of the facilities in Iraq, and he'd come back and he said, well, there's nothing nefarious. I mean, they're basically bumblers, and,
right.
There's not much to worry about. And it was like 5 seconds later, there was some allegation that he'd rogered some woman against her will at like in a cloakroom somewhere.
Right, right.
So this does seem to be the, this does seem to be our standard MO.
Now, Assange has, he warned that over 100,000 people were given the entire archive of diplomatic cables, which would be released if anything happens to him. So he's threatening there's still yet even more stuff that will come out if anything happens to him.
So this is like the manila envelope in a safety deposit box.
I guess so.
Somewhere.
But what it seems like now, he must be scraping the bottom of the barrel as far as embarrassing things to leak.
You would think, although, and again, I am... As Dave Barry used to say, I am not making this up. What he claims, and it's just his claim, I mean, who knows if it's true or not, but he claims that among the items that he has not yet released, among the list of things that's in this sort of, you know, this trove of documents, this poison pill he's calling it, that, like, if I don't come home by noon, there are people instructed to.
Right.
And it's encoded with, like, 256 bit encryption, or what it's like, that military-grade encryption where there's the guy in the room that says, even if we had every computer on Earth computing around the clock, it would take us 9 million years. So I guess it can be broken or whatever. But he said that within that list of documents is something having to do with extraterrestrial life, which is great. And I don't know if it's true or not, because you got to figure that if it's not true, I mean, if he never has to release it because they let him go, then he never has to, you know. But if he just ends up, you know, floating at the bottom of the Hudson or something, then what does he care if it comes out and it turns out to be a fabrication? I like the idea that that's the one thing he chose to highlight. You know?
It must be whatever the government thinks about UFOs must be really embarrassing.
Yeah. Well, because, and plus, you know that is, it's like he just is able to find the one big chink in the geek armor online and just say, you know, which just guarantees that if he goes into a hole somewhere and is never heard from again, that somebody will find a way to release it because there's evidence of extraterrestrial life.
Twitter will be very excited about it.
Yes.
Speaking of the WikiLeaks fellow, members of the Senate Intelligence Committee say the WikiLeaks posting of thousands of secret national security documents on the Internet amounts to espionage.
Is this Leaks 1?
Yes.
In doing so, compromised not only America's national security, but the security of a lot of other countries and the lives of a lot of people who are mentioned in those documents.
By the way, that is, as if you couldn't tell from his droopy dog delivery, that is Senator Joseph Lieberman.
Yes. He also says it may be the greatest act of espionage in U.S. history.
It's funny. I could put any amount of thrilling music behind Joe Lieberman when he speaks, and it's really never going to sound as dramatic as he probably sounds in his own head, or as he seems when he is rehearsing these things in front of a mirror.
Sure.
WikiLeaks used the massive power and openness of the Internet
somebody's laundry has done
stolen classified information around the world.
It's like he's always just come from a dental appointment. Like they've just filled his jaws full of Novocaine and he can't quite open his mouth.
If that's as excited as he gets about the greatest act of espionage in U.S. history, my goodness.
You know, what you're hearing there, Mr. Snyder, is a Jomentum right there. Mm. That's a little
Jomentum.
That's what that is.
For what it's worth, Senator Dianne Feinstein says leaks also qualify as espionage.
It's theft of very important data, essentially. So we believe it fits the terms of the espionage statute and that they should move ahead and prosecute.
Are they all speaking in front of an ice cream truck? Am I the only one who hears the weird chiming in the background?
And that was footsteps. Yeah, they're broadcasting from a haunted house.
Hold on.
It's theft of very important data, essentially. So we believe it fits the terms of the espionage statute.
It's a subway or something.
They should move ahead and prosecute.
It sounded like the chimes on a subway before the doors close or whatever.
Yeah, something like Handel's Messiah is walking by in the background. and Feinstein's the same way as Lieberman. They both just seem so very laissez-faire about something which apparently has the potential to immolate all of Western society.
Well, it's the greatest act of espionage in U.S. history.
Is this that thing where it's like you have to just, you know, it's like when your mom makes you apologize to your brother. Tell your brother you're sorry, and you go, I'm sorry.
Maybe.
I'm really glad that I have a brother. In no way do I wish I was an only child. And just like doing the bare minimum because somebody is forcing you to deliver that message.
This is a terrible act of espionage. We should totally punish it. WikiLeaks is still up and running, by the way, thanks to the help of a Swiss web host. Thank you to Switzerland. Former CIA officer Jamie Smith says the U.S. has the ability to shut down the site permanently.
The U.S. government's got the capability through various agencies and Defense Department units to knock WikiLeaks off the map for good.
Okay, that's just a lie. I mean, it's either a lie, it's just not true, or I mean, there really is no or.
Well,
because it was just like 2 or 3 weeks ago that there was actually a bunch of file sharing websites that were also distributed by a bunch of like super nerds from the Eastern Bloc that just vanished overnight because Interpol or whoever just went in and it just turned it off. And so it seems like if they could do it, they'd be doing it.
You would think. However, Jamie Smith says there is a reason why the U.S. hasn't taken steps to shut down the site permanently yet.
Is he going to share the reason with us?
As soon as you push that button.
All right, let's see. Wait, let me just ask you this right before I play this cut, Mr. Eric D. Snyder. By the way, what is your Twitter name?
Eric D. Snyder.
Is it just as it's spelled? Okay. I was actually going to do a little, I can't say tweet. I was going to do a Twitter update this morning.
Right.
And just say, I will be ably assisted by Mr. Eric D. Snyder in for Don Taylor. And then I didn't really have a chance.
I appreciate the thought anyway.
I'll do it retrospectively, retroactively.
Retroactively.
A word like that. Eric D. Snyder. All right. Before I play this soundbite,
yes.
What do you think the odds are that he's actually going to give us the reason in this? Do you think that they are greater than 50%?
I suspect this will not be a very believable reason.
All right.
Up to this point, WikiLeaks has released classified information. However, the information has not arisen to the level that makes it a national security threat in terms of our nation's survival.
I don't think arisen means what he thinks it means there, but that's a minor point.
So it's bad, but not enough to, like, make us... It won't kill us.
It's bad, but not hella bad.
Right.
That's the thing, is it doesn't... it's not unbelievably bad.
Sure. Even though it may be the greatest act of espionage in U.S. history, apparently, according to two very excited senators. he also points out some have accused Julian Assange of terrorism, but this guy, the CIA guy, doesn't think it's reached that point yet.
He's really more in the espionage and the spying department than he is in the terrorism department. And
is this like how you can either you're like grunge or you're alt or you're grindcore or you know you're
espionage but not terrorism. Let's not take this too far.
No. This isn't house. It's jungle.
Right.
All right. I'm sorry. Let me just.
He's really more in the espionage and the spying department than he is in the terrorism department. And I think that's why you're seeing a criminal prosecution move ahead as far as. As opposed to seeing Assange in or an orange jumpsuit sitting in Gitmo.
Now, he's from the People's Front of Judea, not
right,
the Judean People's Front. That's
yes.
Right.
Entirely different.
Well done. Look at you with the oop to my alley.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. The other voice you hear today is that of Mr. Eric D. Snyder. He's sitting in for Don Taylor, who is at the doctor's office with her husband, Patrick, who...
is yellow.
Who? Yeah, I was just going to... I was trying to find a way to...
I don't know how much detail to go into.
That's the thing. Well, I really just... That's all I know. So it's like he either has just become a Richard Scarry drawing or he's filled with pus.
Yeah.
One of the... Or possibly both. I mean, it's, who
knows?
Can say?
Hopefully it's nothing serious.
So we will apprise you of his condition and of all of that as information is made available to us. But for today, Eric D. Snyder in for Don Taylor. Still to come later on this hour, we got your entertainment news. In just a bit here, we'll get your science on the march as well. You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Don't forget, you can download it later on today as a direct MP3 download here or Legion of News. And you can also get it via iTunes. It's made possible by, among other fine businesses, Squires Electric. You can find out more about them by going to SquiresElectric.com or calling 503-252-1609. 503-252-1609. They've been in Portland for 12 years, and they are fully licensed, bonded, and insured electrical contractors, installers, inspectors, updaters, mavens, overlords, seers of all things, soothsayers, possessors of the most intricate and arcane forms of knowledge. And they're just good folks, as your president would say. They're just plain people out there just trying to make an honest dollar. SquiresElectric.com or 503-252-1609. Whether it is literally something as small as a single placket.
A placket.
That's what happens when I come in and things are ever so slightly different. I tend to be a creature of habit, of routine.
Right.
And so whenever that is altered in any way, it just manifests itself in just the tiniest little ticks. And
you're saying it's my fault that you just said plock
it. It is. Okay. I didn't want to put too fine a point on
all
it,
right.
But let's just say it. You are to blame, Eric D. Snyder.
I can accept that.
You man. Have done this!
any job, whatever, has to do with, expanding your business. Maybe you're moving from one office to two offices, three offices. Maybe you got a house that's, I don't know, you live in some sort of antebellum mansion, and you got to make sure that everything isn't going to sort of go ablaze the first time you try to plug in your Christmas lights
because the plockets are outdated.
Exactly, exactly what it is. You're going to fit in perfectly. I like the cut of your jib, sir. You could have all that taken care of by just contacting Squires Electric, SquiresElectric.com, or 503-252-1609. A proud sponsor of Legion of News. Once again, here is Eric D. Snyder.
A bit of sad news: Elizabeth Edwards is halting her cancer treatment. Elizabeth Edwards may have only months to live after a six-year battle with breast cancer, according to the Associated Press. She's been advised by her doctors that the cancer has spread to her liver and that further treatment would be unproductive. The family made the announcement in a statement on Monday, which Edwards followed up with a message on Facebook.
This would probably be an inappropriate time to mention that everybody around her seems to feel she is a horrible human being.
I thought she was the good one.
No,
her husband left her while she had cancer, didn't he?
But that's the thing, is it's also relative. Because I have this theory that in every breakup of every sort of, you know, in every celebrity couple, and I guess, you know, they count as a celebrity
sure.
couple, that the country instantly picks one side, and we
right.
all support. And it's like, for example, it's always Jennifer Aniston. It doesn't matter who.
Sure.
It doesn't matter who she's dating. You know, she breaks up with somebody, and immediately, you know, we're on Jennifer's side.
She,
and
she could eat a puppy on live television, and
right.
it would be okay.
But it's like John Mayer's fault, though.
Right.
And so everybody kind of went to Elizabeth Edwards' side because, you know, because her husband was like stooping some other woman
while she had cancer. And then fathered a child.
And then was, and then I swear to Christ, had his like chief of staff was like rooting around in the baby's feces trying to try. I'm not making this up. He sent, I keep wanting to say Andrew Carr, but that was Bush's chief of staff. But Edwards sent his chief of staff, the guy who was running his campaign, to Rael Hunter's to her abode,
right?
To try to, I swear to God, get a dirty diaper because they wanted to use feces from the baby to run a DNA test without anybody being the wiser.
Wow.
They wanted to figure out, like, definitively, like, the paternity of it.
Right.
But if you can't just be, you know, but it's like if you just, but if you're sticking needles into a baby, people are going to notice that.
People
and
don't
it's like
that.
You know, and the baby squalls. So they were trying to steal
some poop.
Poo. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. So he just seems like a thoroughly awful person with like a
he
big
does.
Fisher Price head. And so everybody kind of rooted for Elizabeth Edwards. But as the story has sort of unfolded, not that it mitigates anything John Edwards has done, but she is she's spoken of uncharitably by folks who were sort of in the you know, in the orbit of that
right.
campaign. But
although I think the rule is that once you're dying of cancer, it doesn't matter anymore.
Well,
you get away with anything.
It's a buy.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
That's the thing. So like, I mean, it's like when you're old or something. Like when you're 70, 75 years of age, it doesn't matter. You just be a raging dick. I mean, you know, it's like people probably won't care, and even if they do, you don't.
Exactly.
So I will tell you this right now, that the minute they find something huge and malignant and untreatable in me, I'm going to be an even worse person than I am now, which is going to take some doing. But I'm going to put in the necessary work, so I'm ready.
That's good to have goals.
That's right.
Good luck with that. Slightly happier news, or maybe that was happy news if you hate Elizabeth Edwards, apparently.
You know, you say tomato.
In happier news, Cleveland, Ohio will get a lingerie football team.
I don't understand.
I'll tell you the story, and you still won't exactly understand.
Excellent.
But it will make some degree of sense.
Fantastic.
Did you know there's such a thing as the Lingerie Football League?
Let's pretend for the sake of the story that I did. Yes, I'm a
All
huge
right.
fan.
The LFL. They'll be coming to Cleveland for the fall 2011 season. The league, which exists and is a thing, announced on Monday that Cleveland beat out Columbus for an LFL franchise. The full contact indoor league features ladies in bras, underwear, and shoulder pads in a 7-on-7 game of football.
So this is... Yeah, you're right. I really am no closer to any sort of clarity on this.
Yeah. It's apparently exactly what it sounds like.
Is this... You may have already said this. Is this like the Victoria's Secret thing that they do? Because don't they do the halftime show of... like at the Super Bowl or whatever, they do the halftime show where it's the Victoria's Secret. And I don't know, and I've actually never seen that. I've only just seen the coverage of it. I always assume that it's ladies rolling around on the floor and tickling one another and then
right.
giggling coquettishly.
Right. This does not appear to be affiliated with Victoria's Secret. This appears to be a real thing where the ladies dress up in bras and panties and pads for protection and then play football 7-on-7.
Is this some really absurdly specialized fetish with which I was not previously familiar?
I think that's what it is. There's a quote here from the founder and chairman of the Lingerie Football League, Mitchell S. Mortaza. He says, quote, "We could not be more excited to be in a market like Cleveland with its storied history and support of its pro teams, whether they won or lost. LFL football will translate incredibly well, and based on the initial fan support, we suspect Cleveland will be a top market for the league." Which I take to mean Cleveland is full of men who want to watch naked women play football.
You know, sometimes guys like Harvey Pekar, they just pick the wrong time to die, you know? Because you never know when a fantastic new chapter in your city's ongoing story will be revealed. So these are going to be women, just to restate this, to make sure that I'm sort of, I've got this down.
Yeah.
Bras, panties, pads of some kind, which it seems like would defeat the purpose.
Shoulder pads is all this says. Shoulder pads and bras and panties. So their shoulders will be kept safe.
Okay. Helmets?
It doesn't, I would assume, helmets if it's full contact.
Well, I mean, faces are really unimportant to guys. I mean, not
that's
important.
True.
I'm just saying we can obviate that. We can, you know, push comes to shove. You know, in a storm, any port, even if the port is faceless.
I think if I were Cleveland, I would be really insulted that someone thought that I was a good market for Lingerie Football League. I don't think I would take that as a compliment. But yeah, this will go over well here.
I was just going to say, I don't really know how I feel about that. You know, it's one of those things where you can feel like you can feel your lizard brain and then your more highly, like your occipital lobe, sort of taking different sides on
right.
the same issue, where it's a, your own brain is a house divided.
Well, you know, if they're doing it willingly, I assume there's not like slavery involved here. The women are doing it willingly and people enjoy it. Well, then, all right.
I mean,
sure.
You know, and I'm basically a one-celled organism, so I'll go online and look for photos of some sort to see
sure.
if it's a thing that I wish to pursue further.
Can't wait to see the trading cards.
You're listening to Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. It is Tuesday, December 7th, 2010. I will now, just so I can scratch the verbal itch, I will now make the obligatory a date which will live in infamy. Reference. You are hearing my voice as well as that of Mr. Eric D. Snyder. He writes for Cinematical as well as Film.com, and you can hear him on Fridays at 11 a.m. Right here on this very fine broadcasting outlet, Cascadia.fm, 11 a.m. And your co-host is?
Jeff Bayer.
Jeff Bayer.
Movie
see?
BS with Bayer and Snyder.
And it's one of those things where I was going to try to punt, and I'm glad I didn't, because I would have gotten that entirely wrong. coming up later on this hour, we got your entertainment news and so forth. And again, you can get this program later on today via iTunes as well. Here's Mr. Eric D. Snyder.
You know, the governor, what's his name? Kitzhaber. I lost the part with the headline.
You covered really well, though. I don't think anybody picked up on that.
I saw a bumper sticker that said kickboxer, and at first I thought it said Kitzhaber, but first I thought it said kickboxer. That would be a good name for him.
Somebody should do a series of action films, like in martial arts,
right.
Spectaculars, which it just, you know, but it could be called Kitzhaber Kickboxer.
Yeah.
All right,
be awesome.
I'm going to get right on that.
He wants to focus on young children, but not in a bad way.
In what? Thank you. I'm glad you clarified that.
In the gubernatorial way. He's calling for a bigger focus on young children as Oregon lawmakers try to close a $3.5 billion budget gap. In a news conference Monday, Kitzhaber said the state will spend less money down the road on jails, medical care, and social services if children get a solid foundation before starting school. Kitzhaber said the economic crisis is an opportunity to transform the way Oregon government operates, and the immediate budget crisis should be solved in part by cutting pay and benefits for government workers, collecting more unpaid taxes, and implementing recommendations from state audits.
Well, this is like that thing we had you were talking about earlier, where they're so bent on stopping or lowering the unemployment rate and giving more money to people, which seems to be taking the form of firing people and cutting their wages.
Yeah, I don't see that. And saying here they should collect more unpaid taxes, shouldn't they do that anyway?
Yeah, if they're unpaid taxes, it seems. I think we're over-solving that problem.
Yeah.
I don't think there needs to be a step two.
No. Yeah.
Okay.
Well
you
right.
and I really ought to be running this whole joint. That's,
I don't know why we don't. Well, because we're not kickboxers.
This is the Kitzhaber kickboxer thing. Now that's a thing that I'm going to do every time, by the way, so thank you for that.
You're welcome.
That's like how my my wife is a enthusiast of some video games, and but board games especially, and so she's been trying to put together this, and so she has this sort of, it's not like a ladies' gaming league, because that makes it sound like they're all in, like they're all in shoulder pads at my house, just sort of
right.
Going like fourth and inches. But she's a big fan of this game, Settlers of Catan, which is a board game, and then there's also a video game called Beautiful Katamari,
right.
which is this sort of insane like Japanese video game that doesn't make any sense at all. Even when you describe it and you see it, it makes no sense. But she was torn between, so she was going to have some of her friends over for like gaming, food, fun, frivolity, the obligatory hair pulling later on.
Right.
And she was torn between having a Catan-a-thon or a calamari-catamari party. And I really pushed for the calamari-catamari party.
Yeah.
And but she just doesn't seem, so it's going to be Catan-a-thon only because she feels like the verbal dexterity required for the former is going to intimidate people from attending.
That's a shame.
Yeah. Here's Mr. Eric D. Snyder.
A new report from RealtyTrack shows buyers who were willing to snatch up foreclosed properties in the third quarter got them for more than 30% less than non-foreclosed homes. Real estate expert Elise Glink says...
Really?
That's what it says.
Elise Glink?
Elise Glink.
Please to spell.
Elise, first of all, is I-L-Y-C-E.
Okay.
And then Glink, G-L-I-N-K.
All right.
Elise Glink says many people are intimidated by the process, but they shouldn't be.
If you're interested in it and you have the means to be able to do it, this is a unique time to buy.
This is not an actual soundbite. This is a web presentation that somebody. This is just like where you just like you go to a website, or it's like you accidentally roll your mouse over a banner ad and it just starts playing. And you're going like, oh, Christ, where
right.
did the stop? And you're trying to find whatever the thing on the page is that defeated your ad blocking software.
Be quiet, Elise Glink.
All right, let me just.
If you're interested in it and you have the means to be able to do it, This is a unique time to buy foreclosures. In the 20 plus years I've been covering real estate, it's never been this good. And after next year, it may never be this good again. At least I hope so.
Yeah, the economy might accidentally get better. You'll miss your chance.
Don't you just instinctively distrust whatever form of journalism she allegedly engaged in before this because she's now just using it as a way to pitch you something via GeoCities webpage?
Is that what it is, really?
Probably.
Glink says go for it.
Glink says go for it. I want a bumper sticker that says that. Screw the kickboxer thing. Glink says yes. Within like a big red slash underneath it and a thumbs up.
Yes.
All right, hold on a second.
I think people are a little afraid of buying foreclosures right now because
of lizards.
Think the property's going to be in terrible condition or there's going to be a lot of hidden things or they don't
haunted.
Know how to do it. They're intimidated by the process. Let me reassure you, this isn't rocket science.
I don't think that phrase, if it ever worked, I don't think that any longer works to differentiate things that are difficult from things that are not. I think it's a fundamentally useless metaphor you're using there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, all right.
Thanks, Elise Glink.
So
I appreciate that.
Go buy your cheap houses based on the tears of sadness of poor people.
Are you of the Bainbridge Island Glinks? Hello, you're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. I'm Rick Emerson here alongside Mr. Eric D. Snyder of Movie BS with Snyder and Bear, which airs Friday, 11 a.m. Right here at Cascadia. Don Taylor is out today, presumably back tomorrow. In the meantime, in between time, we want to thank one of our business partners, which is Castalia Language Center. Do you speak Spanish?
Muy poquito. That means very little.
All right. So here's the thing. I will give you this. You are several cuts above most of the people who, when I ask them that, they just go, "See," and then they kind of cackle quietly to themselves.
Right.
Like at their rapier wit. PortlandSpanish.com is the website you can go to for Castalia Language Center. Did you learn it in the... Did you take any Spanish education like high school?
I did. In high school and college, took some. I should speak Spanish really well.
And yet?
And yet I do not.
You are, see, here's the thing. Your failure can be an object lesson to others and an opportunity for their success.
If I had something with, like, smaller class sizes and more, like, one-on-one kind of stuff.
God bless you. You know, if I had a $5 bill in my pocket, I'd give it to you right now. Rick, if only something existed in downtown Portland that offered to put me in a class of no more than myself and seven other fine souls.
That would be fantastic.
You can find out about such a place, Eric D. Snyder, not in the future, not in a fantabulous world of tomorrow, not in a universe that is on the other side of creation, a place that which we can, you know, of which we can only dream. No, it's here. It's now. It's today.
What?
A place of figurative flying cars and cloud cities. That place is Castalia Language Center, owned and operated by Ms. Clara Greville, who's a longtime listener of the Rick Emerson Show and a supporter of that program and of Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Find out more by going to PortlandSpanish.com. That is PortlandSpanish.com. And they're not going to do that. And I always think of Dead Poets Society for some reason, where it's like the Latin teacher just has them marching out in the courtyard going, Agricola, Agricolos, or whatever.
Right.
And just, you know, and then like he waves sadly at Robin Williams.
You should learn one Spanish sentence to do that.
It is, I'm sorry?
So you should learn a Spanish sentence.
Oh, so I could do so
that,
instead
yeah.
of Latin.
Right, yeah.
All right, I'll do that. Wait. No, I won't. See, that's a thing right now that I'm saying I'm going to do and that I'm not actually going to do it.
Gotcha.
And all the things I just said are true and interesting. You can find out more about Castalia Language Center by going to PortlandSpanish.com. Please tell me you heard it here at Legion of News. PortlandSpanish.com. Spanish language classes for adults in small class sizes so you get near individualized attention. You learn to speak conversational Spanish by learning conversational Spanish in a conversational setting for conversations. And here's Eric D. Snyder, ladies and gentlemen, at the news desk.
You know, this is going to make everybody sad. This is one of those stories that makes you go, oh, that's a shame.
Really? Do I need to find... I don't think I have... Let's see if I have a sad or depressing news... No.
It's not appropriate. No, Portland police investigate an armed robbery at a Christmas tree lot. Last night.
Where at?
Over at Northeast 82nd Avenue and East Burnside.
It's hard to believe.
In the Safeway... I know, the Safeway parking lot. It was about 7 o'clock, or about 8 o'clock last night. Officers arrived and learned that the suspect pointed a gun at the Christmas tree lot attendant and demanded money. The victim gave the suspect an undisclosed sum of money, and the suspect was last seen running northbound on 82nd. The suspect is described as black male in his early 30s, 6 foot, medium build, all black clothing, black ski cap, with an Oregon State logo on the front.
Well, so he's embittered.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing.
And armed with a handgun.
You know, the thing about, I mean, wherever, and I'm not advocating that you engage in crime. That's you shouldn't do those things.
Absolutely.
The crime is wrong, and it's wrong to victimize your fellow man at Christmas time or at any other time. But if you're going to do that, like if you're bent on robbery, and thievery, and there's nothing I can do to dissuade you from that, then let me just ask you a logistic question. I mean, I can't figure out if the robbing somebody and then running, down 82nd, if that's good or because on the one hand, you got to figure that's the first place the cops, that's the first place you would look for any criminal of any variety who'd committed any kind of crime.
On 82nd Avenue.
Is 82nd.
Sure.
On the other hand, you got to figure that that's, you know, that's like a Where's Waldo kind of a thing at that point. You're just, you know, everybody there is it. I mean, like.
They may not be able to pick you out of the other.
Yeah. I mean, it's like,
right.
You know, like at any given moment, about 86% of the people in 82nd are just terrible human beings. And look, and I say that as somebody, I live just like 30 seconds from 82nd. So it's not like I'm that far afield, but I'm saying let's just
right.
call it what it is. You know, it's not really a place where the criminal-minded are going to stand out as being different from everybody around them. So, you know.
It gets more shameful, though. I should mention, the Christmas tree lot is a fundraiser for a...
not anymore.
Larsh Nahalam, an organization that assists people with developmental disabilities in Portland. This man stole money from people with developmental disabilities.
Well, but let's be honest. They may not ever really fully process that
no,
fact.
No, that's true.
The sadness may elude them.
Do they know it's Christmas time at all?
We should quiz them. if we were a kooky morning show, if we were zany DJs, we would actually just I would take my on-site audio recorder and we could go quiz the developmentally delayed and just see like what the mean like the statistical average was for whether or not they knew it was Christmas after all. You're a bad person. You're a bad person, and here's the thing. I'm already a bad person, but you exacerbate those tendencies in me, and I like it.
I get that a lot.
Well done.
Do you want to know about a car crashing into the monorail?
More than anything.
It's happened in Florida, obviously. A Disney World monorail was shut down for about 40 minutes on Saturday after a man crashed his pickup into one of the support beams. The truck driver was seriously injured in the crash. Investigators say he lost control, hit a power pole, and then hit the support beam near Epcot Center Drive. The support beam was not damaged.
Well, of course, and Disney makes things to last.
Yep.
I mean, those things will be here long after we, as a race, have shuffled off our collective mortal coil. Disney will remain. It's going to be like that. It's going to be like that Bradbury story where the House of Tomorrow just keeps on running for like 50 years after the nuclear war.
I like the news story. Took care to let us know in case we were concerned. The support beam was not damaged.
Epcot was not damaged in any way.
The driver of the truck seriously injured. Epcot, however, soldiers on. The monorail shuttles passengers between Epcot and the Magic Kingdom. Disney World officials said they shut it down as a precaution because, of course, you can't conquer it. You can't destroy it.
Well, and you can't power wash something that's moving.
That's true.
I mean, that's the thing where you've really got to
shut it down.
To give it a good hosing, it's got to be stationary.
Some repainting, and then later reopen it. So everything is fine at the monorail except for the guy who's in the hospital.
For support structure enthusiasts, though,
you
need worry about nothing.
No, it's
you
fine.
Are listening to Legion of News. My name is Rick Emerson. I'm alongside Eric D. Snyder, who is in for Don Taylor, who is out today. Shall we do... Do you have your science on the march?
I sure do.
We have some... Okay, let's do a fistful of sciences. Here's your science on the march for Tuesday, December 7th, 2010, right here at Legion of News at Cascadia.fm. Once again, Mr. Eric D. Snyder.
Fish feel pain, too. Fish feel pain, according to a new book by Penn State professor Victoria Braithwaite.
Was somebody under the impression that they did not feel pain?
Oh, yes. Were we ever told that myth as a child?
No.
I was told that by people who wanted me to go fishing. They'd say, well, fish don't feel pain. That's why the hook doesn't hurt their lips. Well, they don't feel pain.
Did they really tell you that?
Yes. People, and it's a thing that people, they, yeah.
I okay. Here's
you've never heard that really?
No, and I you know because it's like you know and I you know I was you know I grew up I had this family full of hicks and
sure.
so and I'm not saying fishing makes you a hick but I am saying that there is
it doesn't help
the Venn diagrams there they overlap to a substantial degree let's just call
absolutely.
It what it is be honest there I got taken fishing and there's some absurd photographs of me holding a hunting rifle when I'm like four and you know
wow.
just, it's insane but. And, it, you know, it's just not my deal. But I remember I read this, I subscribed to this magazine. In fact, it was the offshoot of the television show 3-2-1 Contact. So I read the 3-2-1 Contact magazine, which was science for the younger set, for the small fry. And at one point, and they had those, like, it was the first time I ever saw the word factoid, by the way. Before that emerged into just the mainstream lexicon, the word factoid was used in 3-2-1 Contact magazine. And one of the little factoids, and I don't know why they put it in there, Unless it was some sort of weird, like, subtle, like, PETA sort of propaganda that they were trying to get into the minds of children. But it just said, factoid, earthworms feel pain. And that was it. And I was like 5 or 6 or something. And then the next time my dad wanted to take me fishing, of course, I was just horrified.
Sure. You didn't think about the fish, what they were feeling?
Well, but I extrapolated from that, if earthworms feel pain, and they don't even look like a thing that's a, they just look like a shoelace, then you got to figure that the fish and the deer and the whatever, and that was sort of the beginning of the end of my my career as a young hunter of things.
Yeah.
So.
No, I've frequently heard that fish don't feel pain, which is why the catch and release is fine, doesn't hurt them, whatever.
Why did they never ask the fish that?
Well, exactly.
Hey, wriggle uncomfortably if this hurt.
Yeah, well, Victoria Braithwaite of Penn State, in her book, titled, Do Fish Feel Pain? Spoiler alert, the answer is yes. She presents her case that fish, like most other organisms, are capable of experiencing pain and that humans can cause fish to suffer. Scientists have covered similar research that concluded lobsters, crabs, and other shellfish feel pain too.
It is interesting that she singles out, I mean, I don't think we're alone in that. I think probably other fish, anything with
teeth. Generally speaking,
probably,
yeah.
You know, they're unkind to one another. I'm just back on this thing of somehow people clung to this idea.
Yes, to the point that someone had to write a book addressing
I'd like to know the thought process that led to someone concluding in their own head that fish did not feel pain.
Maybe because man has hunted fish for so many millennia that over time they evolved to where they didn't feel pain anymore for their own well-being. Perhaps.
Maybe. It'd be like those kids I saw on that episode of Geraldo one time where it was like the kid, it was children who don't feel pain. The title of the episode, by the way, itself sent me to gales of laughter for reasons I can't really explain. And it was like right out of the gate, it was like a 17-year-old who was always leaning on the stove or something. All right. So fish feel pain.
Yes. So there you go. So you should feel bad when you put hooks in their mouths.
And I do. My wife actually had never been fishing up until about a year and a half ago. And, because they're... She just grew up, you know, her family, they're people of the great indoors, and they, you know, so she never went fishing, and she really wanted to do it, and she's much more outdoorsy than I am. I mean, she does, you know, she, like, hikes and camps, you know, on the top of some godforsaken dirt hill somewhere, and, you know, it's like, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to go sleep outside. Well, it's 20 below on some ice mountain, and I'm like, well, have at it, I'll be at home. So, but she'd never gone fishing is the thing. And so she was like nagging me to take her fishing. I'm like, fine. So I took her fishing. We just went to, like, you know, and it was just like a stocked pond or something, just to sort of get a feel for it. But she was like pulling out these fish and I just felt so horrified. I just felt so bad. All of this, like, Catholic guilt, you know, for the fish who's looking up like, why must I suffer? Mm-hmm. And so she thought that this was silly when she saw me doing it. I swear to God, I brought along like a little fish mallet. I brought along like a little, hey, fish, look over there. Bam! You know, right there. Because, you know.
Put out its misery.
Because then it's not like I believe in reincarnation or karma or whatever. But it's a bit of a bet hedging. Because if I'm wrong, I don't want to come back as like a test mouse, like at OHSU or something, you know, where they're just like, where I'm in the bleach lab or something.
You want to get to the other side and have a bunch of fish angry with you.
That's right. Exactly.
Daily aspirin found to reduce cancer risk, by the way. An aspirin a day may keep cancer away, says a new study from Oxford University researchers. According to the study, which was published in the medical journal The Lancet, taking 75 milligrams of aspirin daily can reduce the risk of cancer death by up to a fifth. And if taken regularly for years, can have a long-term protective effect. Researchers looked at 25,000 patients and found that the risk of death after 20 years was lowered in patients who took aspirin by 60% for esophageal cancer, 40% for colorectal cancer, 30% for lung cancer, and about 10% for prostate cancer.
Here's the thing about aspirin. This is what my wife would call a stoned revelation, which, by the way, is not obtained under the influence of any chemical or narcotic, because
Absolutely
my temple is, you know, body's a temple, and I whatever. And this, and really, is one of the reasons that I don't get high, because it's like my brain just conjures up so much weird crap, like just now, like so much so that I can't even move sometimes. I just sit at home in a chair, like halfway through tying my shoes, and I just. Do you ever do this? Do you ever go to, like, you know, like you're lacing up your shoes or something, and then you start to think, where did that thought come from? How did my arm know to move? Well, my brain told it to. Well, what told my brain to think that? And then I just get stuck in this weird sort of like Mobius strip in my head.
And you're having these thoughts when you're not stoned.
That's what I'm saying. And so it's like I can only imagine. I mean, maybe it would cancel it. Maybe it'd be a wash or something if I was high. But do you ever think about how weird a product aspirin is? I mean, if they discovered aspirin today, or if somebody company created aspirin today in a lab, first of all, it would never be legalized, and if it was, it would cost $500 a tablet. I mean, it's a fever reducer, it's an anti-inflammatory agent, it's a pain reliever. It can actually save your life if you take it during a heart attack.
Right.
It can now presumably prevent cancer.
Apparently.
It can break a fever. I mean, it can do all that stuff. And it costs like a penny a tablet.
Yeah, less than that.
I mean,
yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah. That's true.
I mean, it's just, it really is, when they say it's the wonder drug that works wonders, it's sort of amazing when you think about all the stuff that aspirin can do, and the fact that it's just like dirt cheap, and that it basically is just ground up tree bark, by the way.
I guess we are lucky they discovered it long ago, before they found a way to make money.
That's
on
right,
it.
Before Eli Lilly.
Wasn't aspirin originally a trademark name? That's one of those names that originally was like Xerox or Jacuzzi. Originally was a brand name, and then it became generic.
Well, you know what else is like that? Huh. Is granola. Granola was a brand name, granola was an offshoot of granula, because the cereal was in granular form. It was
right.
Large grains of grains.
I did not know that,
but they just let lapse. I don't know the thing about aspirin true.
Yeah, that used to it was a
interesting.
Yeah, it was a trade name.
I wonder exactly how it is that they discovered, like, who eats tree bark? I mean, intentionally. How is it that they discovered? Because I think it was actually Socrates, who was one of the first people to write about the chewing of willow bark by pregnant women, and it reduced something around.
I think in olden times, before we became reliant on technology.
Ye olden times.
I think people did more of that sort of thing with roots and herbs and trees and stuff, because they didn't, there wasn't mass.
There was no cable.
Yeah, exactly. And, you're dying of something. We might as well look around and see what we can find that might help.
What are you going to do? I'm going to chew a series of brightly polished stones.
Yeah. I'm already dying. What's the worst that could happen?
You are listening to Legion of News. My name is Rick Emerson, alongside Mr. Eric D. Snyder, and for Don Taylor today. Let's do one more science story here, and then we'll transition to entertainment news here in a moment.
I don't think I have any more science stories.
Let's end science right now.
Oh, no,
is what
we
I
do.
Meant to
oh,
say.
That's,
no,
oh,
no,
I,
let's
I
do
lied.
One more
I'm
science.
Sorry, I forgot about space.
Damn you!
I'm sorry.
Don't forget about space.
NASA is once again delaying the Space Shuttle Discovery's final mission to the International Space Station. The launch won't take place until at least February 3rd. NASA's Space Station Program Manager Mike Soffredini says they've decided more tests and evaluations are needed first.
Is this NASA?
01.
Let's see, where the hell did I... the hell did I put my NASA cuts? Right. Wait.
Mike Soffredini.
It's one of those things where they were... Do you ever have that thing of, like, it was just here?
Yeah.
All right. All right, let's see what this is. No? Yeah, the problem is that it's, I put it in here and I labeled it something other than NASA. Mm. I swear to God, I labeled it like cool sound 5 or something. Oh, here we go. There we go.
The loading of the panel itself and the manufacturing defects. The other test will look at the loading conditions actually on the tank out at the pads.
Well, I'm glad we got that clarified.
Yeah. Do you have the other one?
Yes, I do.
Soffredini says more tests are needed to figure out the cause of cracks found in the foam covering the vehicle's external tank.
All right, here's that guy once again.
We laid in those tests just kind of conceptually. There's really no way we can get there before the December launch window.
All right, so that is either similar to or overlaps with a soundbite that we heard from them yesterday. So the upshot is that they're just doing it. Yeah, they're putting it off until February. By the way, on the science tip, as the kids say, Glink, that Elise Glink. Somebody knows that Glink sounds like somebody who would foreclose on Quark's bar. So, well done. Well observed, sir,
nice.
Madam.
Right. Nice. Also in space news, space is a big place. A lot of news out of space. Rick Homans is executive director of the world's first commercial spaceport in New Mexico and says he's thrilled to be in on the ground floor of commercial space travel.
And this is a Space One?
Yes.
All right. See, now I'm second-guessing everything. Now I don't know what to believe. One moment. Let's all pretend I'm not having this moment of awkward silence.
I take all the blame. I take all the blame for throwing off your mojo.
That. All right, here we go.
I pinch myself sometimes and say, how often does one have the opportunity to be part of a project that is so historic? This is the birth of the new commercial space age.
And so this is who?
Rick Homans, the executive director of the world's first commercial spaceport.
Let's eschew the second soundbite here, because I think it's very similar to the first one. But this is, does it say in the lead-up, does it say this is the Richard Branson Virgin Galactic thing?
The other bit here we have is Carolyn Windsor with Virgin Galactic.
All right, so
coming behind the first planned space flight from the site. So yes,
yeah. So it's Branson thing, which you know, as we've noted a few times, it's like a thing that they've been selling tickets for like 15 years or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, remember, like, I don't know, it was like in 1998, like Noel Gallagher or somebody was like, well, I got the first space flight ticket then. Look at this. And I just sort of assume that that's a thing they can just sell gullible rich people because they don't ever really have to pay it off.
Like when they name a star after you?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly right, you know?
It may be, but yeah, I guess this is the spaceport. It was like the airport. Yeah, the airport that is run separately from the actual airlines.
Right.
So we have this guy, Rick Homans, is the director of the spaceport, and then Virgin Galactic will be the company actually launching the flight from there.
It's like selling whatever's at the bottom of the Oak Island money pit. You know, that's a thing you never really have to pay off.
Well, they probably said the same thing about airline travel. Maybe.
I don't know.
They probably did.
Well, let's just assume they did.
Okay, sure.
All right. That's the end of your science news. Fantastic. You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. My name is Rick Emerson, alongside Mr. Eric D. Snyder, filling in for Don Taylor today. If you like what you hear from him, you can hear more of it. That is Friday's Movie BS with Snyder and Bear, Friday's 11 a.m. Right here at Legion of News, Cascadia.fm. And then do you have a standalone website? Is there do you have your own place for that?
My own site is EricDSnyder.com.
And he also writes for film.com and Cinematical as well. You can hear all of his musings and then read more of them.
Basically, you can't go anywhere on the internet without running into me.
You're looking at every corner like the pedo bear.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of, go ahead.
This is so awkward now out of the pedo bear thing.
I'm sorry.
Let's just take a moment to Christmas mountain trees. I will just say that if Dawn were here, I don't know if you got a chance to, if you've talked to her since this last weekend, but actually if you were in the, if you saw in the break room here, in the kitchen / green room here at the Emerson News Network, so there's a fantastic Christmas tree in there, not yet decorated. It's going to be decorated in the next few days, but I can tell you, so we went to Christmas Mountain Trees, to a family farm run by Troy and Jennifer. It's been in the family since 1942. Grandfather started by going up to Mount Hood, cutting, I mean, it's like, it seems so unbelievably like Franklin Mint, you know, collectible plate Americana.
Norman Rockwell.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. You can't even, it doesn't seem like a thing could possibly be true. But it is, and it's, he would sell trees, and he'd bring them back to Portland, sell them one by one, started a farm, which really, when you think about it, I mean, that's some patience, that's forward thinking. Because when you start a farm, like a Christmas tree farm, it's not like you're just growing kudzu or something. It's going to be ready in like 15 seconds. I mean, you're growing trees. They're not ready for a decade.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm going to start a farm, and then in 10 years, I'll be able to harvest something.
Wow.
But Christmas Mountain Trees is now, they're year-round. It's what they do. It's the entire family business. It's been there for three generations, going on four. You can find out directions to get there, and you do want to follow the directions on their site, because they're flawless. They'll get you there without any trouble. ChristmasMountainTrees.com, and their Facebook page, which is Facebook.com/ChristmasMountain. They've got, sort of weather updates and everything, so you know what weather you're going to deal with. I would dress in layers, by the way. We went up there around 9 a.m., and it was decidedly crisp. By around 11 a.m., it was cool, but it wasn't uncomfortably cold. You want to wear like an extra pair of socks or something if you're going to go up in the morning. But it's fantastic, because I'm the hugest Christmas nerd. I am just the biggest fan of Christmas, like, ever. And so rarely do you get to do, because it's like you got the Christmas thing that it's like in your head because you've seen it on television or in movies or in books or, like it's just a Norman Rockwell paintings. But then it's like the actual, but then you go to a lot, on 82nd, and there's
82nd
a guy
Burnside,
sticking
yeah.
a shotgun in, at your nose. So mm-hmm. it's like, that's no way to spend your Christmas looking at mugshots,
They don't have that trouble up on Christmas Mountain, I assume.
That's what I'm saying. And, and here's the thing. And if you know guys who run farms up there, if there were any sort of trouble, they can handle it, I think. That's mm-hmm. just a theory. And look, some guy starts trouble up there with a gun, you're not going to find him. All right?
That's true.
Let me just put it that. And the Christmas trees are going to grow a little bit taller the next year. So it took an unforeseen dark turn.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we went there over the weekend. We went there Saturday, and it was really it's a great place. And if you're really into Christmas, if you're a fan of Christmas, if you got kids especially, it is fantastic. You go up there, and they have the actual steaming hot cider, coffee, yes. hot chocolate. You're there. They got a huge roaring fire, and then they will actually take you, and you'll go on this wagon that takes you through as we keep saying, 85,000 trees. And it doesn't seem possible. Do you see them all? And you say, my God, this really is 85,000 trees.
Wow.
And they stop at many, many points. You can stop, get off, you walk around, walk through, you know, it's not like you're going to get lost. It's all it's constructed so there's lines of sight. But you can just wander as long as you like. There was actually some guy, I guess, who was there for like 5 hours till they closed, came back the next day, looked for another 2 hours before finding exactly the right tree. Because, I mean, they just go on forever. And you find the tree and you go, this tree right here, this is the tree we want, which is what we do with one in the kitchen. And immediately they take the tree. They'll take it out of the ground. They take it down to the and they'll take it to the bottom of the hill for you. You don't have to do it. You're dragging it through the woods or something.
Right.
You get to the bottom of the tree, bottom of the hill. There's a machine that shakes all the excess needles off, and then there's amazing this baling thing that just goes whoosh, and just immediately compresses it down to it's like a folded up umbrella.
Oh, nice!
You get it home. You take off the one piece of twine. And it just immediately expands. It's just, it's fantastic.
It's great.
It's like one of the best things you've ever done. So go to ChristmasMountainTrees.com to find out more, or Facebook.com/ChristmasMountain. That's how you find out more about them. They are a proud sponsor of Legion of News. So do tell me you heard it here if you would. Let's do a little bit of entertainment news here with Mr. Eric D. Snyder. This is Legion of News for Tuesday, December 7th.
An ex-member of the Sunshine Band, as in KC and the Sunshine Band, has gotten a 7-year sentence in a sex case. Telling a judge he was embarrassed, disgusted, and ashamed. What's his name? There it is. Richard Finch. He was the bassist for KC and the Sunshine Band.
You know, here's the thing about that. I don't think... I may have interviewed him.
Really?
Just a year or two ago. I have a... So I know a guy who's a musician who is... really good friends with him. What did he get arrested for?
He's been sentenced 7 years in prison in Ohio for sex charges involving, do you want to guess who the sex charges involve?
Is it a minor?
Teen boys. Yeah.
Okay. I really didn't see that sentence ending that way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Teen boys. He entered pleas of no contest in, oh my goodness, it's Ohio, it's Licking County. I'm not making that up. Licking County.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to.
I know.
Sometimes, look, latch is it's an autonomic function. There's just, you know, what are you going to do?
So they're in Licking County. He said he was embarrassed, disgusted, and ashamed, and he pled guilty. Unlawful sexual conduct with a minor and several other charges.
All right. Now he's in the province of shiving. Located within, but adjacent to sort of Licking County. Wow.
Yeah.
So, well, you know, the thing about him, I don't know that he's actually been part of the band for a long time, because that's what's his name, Harry Casey, who was the Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Right.
I think it's that thing where he, like, fired everybody and just, like, sort of kept the name. And so it's, like, him and, like, an endless series of, like, studio musicians that he tours
right.
with.
Now, yeah, I don't know when in the band's history Richard Finch was involved.
I think he's the original
bass player. Yeah, I mean, he himself won multiple Grammy Awards. So whatever Grammy Awards they won, it was when he was in the band. Yeah.
You know, here's the thing is, like, you would think if you had, I don't know, you would think that the more money, the more success, more fame you had. It's like I always say that people in Hollywood, I don't understand why they don't just hire drivers. Because they, you know, every time they get arrested, it's like because they got pulled over and then they found, like, whatever, you know,
right.
in the car. This guy, you figure you just have a guy. I mean, unless his predilection is underage, you know, or young folk, you would figure you have a guy who just, his sole job is to inspect the IDs of everyone who comes to pleasure you.
Yeah, he's 56 years old. He apologized to the judge and the teens.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, saying he had little memory of the activities because he was impaired by alcohol. Not that excuses it seems, but as a matter of fact, he has little memory of it, or so he says.
All right. Well, then if you have a little... I mean, look, if I can just raise... I don't mean to be pedantic about this, but if you can just raise... What is the point of doing it, then, if you're going to have little memory of it because you're blitzed? I mean, leaving aside the morality and legality of the act or lack thereof...
That's true.
What is the point of, like, getting out of... You blitzed out of your head on Seconal, if that's going to then obliterate any memory of the presumably hot sex you're going to be having?
I guess maybe it makes it more fun at the moment.
I guess.
Numbs you enough to where you can, you know...
It's like the reverse of Total Recall, where you do something great and then you don't ever get to remember it.
Right. But apparently that's the way.
See,
he likes it.
I was looking for a way to do that joke. I'm glad that you... Because I tried and I was just, you know...
There's another odd point of this story. He says, I'm very proud of the legacy in the music business that I have created.
But less so the...
It just seems odd that he's proud of
the sex
having been in Casey and the Sunshine Band.
No. See, why do you got to hate? Don't knock Casey and the Sunshine Band.
I'm just saying.
When is the last time you really listened to Casey and the Sunshine
Band? I mean, that's catchy or whatever, but to be proud of it, of the legacy? I'm just saying.
You know, some of us appreciate art, Eric D. Snyder. I know that... I know that maybe in like Rust Bucket, Kentucky, or whatever it is, wherever you're from.
Sure.
I'm just saying, I it's not like I'm a huge, like I got their box set or something, but I'm, you know, I'm just saying, he was in KC in the Sunshine Band, I wasn't. You know,
well,
although I'm also not in prison,
true.
So I mean, I guess it's a wash maybe
right.
At this point. I think all things being said, is pretty much even.
Speaking of Rust Bucket, Kentucky, do you want to know that Kenny Chesney and Carrie Underwood won big at the CMA Awards?
That I think I read something about her winning. I don't think I read anything about it. Kenny Chesney's the weirdest looking guy. Have you ever took a good long look at him? He's a strange looking man.
I can't. When I picture him, I'm thinking of Keith Urban. I think
Keith Urban. Now see, Keith Urban's he's a good looking guy, and it's not that Kenny Chesney. I mean, maybe he is. He looks like Voldemort. He just, you know, it's like tiny little head, no hair, and then his nose is kind of flat, and so he's like you expect him to speak parcel tongue or something, like, you know, during his songs.
Well,
all right.
Apparently, he and Karen Underwood won some awards at the Country Music Association.
I think we're running
awards.
Over time.
Yeah,
we should probably
not really interested in
give
the
us
CMAs
the,
anyway.
Going to give us the hook here. Yeah. All right. Thank you for stepping in for Don Taylor today.
Absolutely.
Mr. Eric D. Snyder, if you want to find out more about him, you can hear him Fridays, 11 a.m. at Cascadia.fm as part of the Movie BS with Snyder and Bear show. It's Movie BS with Snyder and Bear
actually,
Fridays.
Actually, Movie BS with Bear and Snyder.
Bear and Snyder.
That's BS.
I'm trying to give you a little promotion.
I appreciate that.
BS with
yeah,
the.
Yeah.
I see.
I know. See
what you did there.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I didn't. But I'm glad you pointed out. I missed what you did there, but then it was brought to my attention later on. You can also read him at film.com or Cinematical. Thank you once again. Don Taylor will presumably be returning tomorrow, Wednesday. In the meantime, you can get this program later on the day via iTunes or as a direct MP3 download here or at legionofnews.com. The Rick Emerson Show begins next at rickemerson.com after a brief music interlude. In the meantime, in between time, thank you for listening. Legion of News comes to you live from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the Milkpacking District in glorious southeast Portland, Oregon. At the news desk today, Mr. Eric D. Snyder in for Don Taylor, advanced technology and magic provided by Mr. Thomas Gill, executive producer Bruce Aglow, chief of staff Cheryl Kanakoa, and so forth. Until we meet again, which is tomorrow at noon, have a safe and satisfying Tuesday. Won't you please?